morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes, I do. It's been a privilege for me to worship with you this morning. My name is Vitaly Kalinowski, and I work with Chaim Ministries. You all know Fred Klett. He's a very good friend of mine and my partner and co-pastor, because we're planning a church, Rock of Israel congregation. You know that congregation too. And you know, to me, it's I feel very good connection with you guys, although we're not that often are meeting each other. But you know, I have at least great relationships with your pastors, former pastors, and current pastor. Dan is a good friend of mine, and Jerry is tremendous help in my ministry. You know, he's been in the 10th Presbyterian Church in the committee that supervising our mission work in Philadelphia, and every time we met with this committee, church planning and mission committee, Jerry was the one who was asking very personal question. We've been reporting our ministry, but he said, "Hey, brother, tell me how your family doing? What's your financial situation? How is your what's your children? How's everything's going?" And it was very touching, you know. And I feel really great about this relationship with Jerry and Dan Schrock and with all you guys. Let us read today's text from the Bible. It comes from Book of Leviticus. I think it's this book, sometimes very often, is neglected by congregational reading in churches Sunday morning. It shouldn't be this way, and we're fixing this problem at least this morning. We're going to read chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" What a word. There are so many calls around us in this modern world, used by companies, politicians, to draw our attention. Pay your tax and sleep well. Oh, okay, yeah, we all do it. Manage your dream. Let's make America great again. And others. And we're so accustomed to these such a slogans that sometimes we don't even notice them. And what do you think about this slogan that we just read from this passage? You know, we can't take it as a slogan. It's nothing less than, it's a message from God. Be holy, for I am holy, Lord your God. Will we notice it, or we pass by? Will it resonate in his church this morning? Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this privilege to get together and worship your holy name. Lord, it's a mystery for us. We don't understand. We're struggling with this idea of holiness. What is holiness? You call us to be holy because you are holy, Lord, but we don't understand that. It's something beyond of our comprehending. We don't understand what is it to be holy, Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts. We ask that Holy Spirit would fill this place and in your presence. Open our hearts and open our minds. Lord, please bless us with this word. And let us be reminded of your holiness and what is it to be holy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the call for holiness. First, what I want to say today, this morning, that call for holiness comes from the holy God. It says, "I am holy." There is a time when a believer in Jesus experiences a similar to midlife crisis, when he goes from infancy to maturity, he understands that real faith is something more than just knowledge of religious rituals, or more than even coming to church every Sunday morning. Understanding comes on one hand, but on the other hand, you begin to understand that you don't understand a thing. It seems that sometimes it's something slipping away from you, something valuable, important, and you know it. Have you any of you experienced anything like that? There was a such time for me in my life when I was in Christian college back in my country, in Kyrgyzstan. I was in my second year in college, and I began to think that I already knew a lot. I became a very good Christian, you know. I broke with everything worldly. I lived in church, literally lived in church, because my church, my home church, my college, my dorm shared the same building, so I lived in church. I did not communicate with any unbelieving friends. I read only scriptures, only spiritual literature, served in every possible ministry in my church and college, participated in all the worship service, believe it or not, for 19 years, I never missed a service in my church. 19 years, every Sunday, sick or great, I was there every time. I prayed at all prayer meetings. Every Sunday afternoon after the church, we would go out and share the gospel in marketplace. I did it every Sunday with other people, of course. So if someone went to heaven for good deeds, I could be one of them. Actually, I steal it from Martin Luther. He was the one who said that. My favorite books, one of my favorite books in the Bible was Leviticus. And my favorite chapters in this book were 18, 19, and 20. The only thing that really bothered me every time I read, it's the opening verse, two verses in chapter 19, be holy. I thought, that's impossible call. That's impossible. Sometimes it seemed to me that it was a mockery. You know, the Lord requires some kind of heresy from us? Be holy? We were taught in the Bible studies that those saints that look down at us from the icons, they're not really holy people. They're sinners just like us. What is the meaning of this call from God? Be holy. What is that? And you know, the meaning of it is in itself. In my country, there were two runaway presidents. And it turned out they'd be liars for all those years. And those words diverge from their real deeds. There's no such thing as runaway president in this country, at least not yet. But we have a lot of liars among our politicians, especially during the race for the office. You know that better than I. Someone told me that it's easy to determine if the politician lying right now while he speaks. I said, how? They opened their mouth. Very often, it happens even to spiritual leaders who are calling for what they are themselves or not. Charles Spurgeon once said, if the preachers did at least 10% of what they are preaching, there would be no need for preaching. Their deeds would speak louder and more convincing than their sermons. God is holy. There are two meanings of this. First, His holiness is transcendental. It means that He is separated from everything else, and He is not like anything else. Second, His holiness is His absolute moral purity. We all have been trying to become a different person starting Monday. We've tried to quit smoking or to start dieting or working out on Monday, but very often we've fallen short. You agree with that? I'm glad I'm not alone. Have you ever tried to become holy starting Monday? And, you know, you don't have to. I can say you right now. I can tell you. He says, be holy for I am holy. This is not to mock you. It's a promise. He's making us holy right now, even this moment right now. He's making us holy. But it would not have ever happened to us if God had not added, for I am holy, Lord your God. The call for holiness is not only in the Old Testament, as we read, it's also a New Testament thing as well. Jesus speaks about it in his Sermon on Mount. In Matthew 5:48, he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. When he's finished his sermon, you know, he got the reaction from people, and they said, we can read it in Matthew 7:28-29, when Jesus has finished saying these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching because he taught as the one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. People understood that he was different. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. In all these places, it is said that the call for holiness is not a process in which we will fight as powerlessness, but the holy God himself will be there with us, making us holy. Second thing that I want to share with you this morning is that the call for holiness is addressed to all believers. And we can read here, Moses addresses the whole community of the sons of Israel to the entire of chosen people of God, all of them, regardless of tribe, to the tribe of Levi as a priest, as well as the tribe of Judah, to the tribe of Reuben, as well as the tribe of Simeon. Just like that, the call for holiness is there for all Christians, all who believe, regardless of age, status, time of church attendance, or religious experience. Just last Monday, we had funeral service for one of our dearest member in our congregation, Rock of Israel. Although she became member just 2 weeks ago, before she died. Her name was Sevda Alekperova, and she was wife of one of our first members in congregation. You know, she's been a believer for many years. She certainly professed her faith. She's been faithfully attending Rock of Israel, all the services. She was very involved. She was very encouraging for others. She was fighting with cancer for more than 10 years. And all those years, she's been very faithful and encouraging to other people. She would never complain, never asking for attention. Rather, she would go out and support other people, ask how are you doing, and encourage them. You know, but every time we ask her, how about baptism? What do you think about getting baptized? Now, she would get emotional and says, no, I'm not ready yet. What do you mean? What is that? What is that? Why do you think you're not ready yet? She said, no, I'm not ready. I'm not perfect. But it's not for perfect people. Baptism, it's complete opposite. It's for weak people who wants to be in covenant with the Lord. No, I'm not ready yet. I'm not that spiritual as other people in the congregation. But what do you mean by saying I'm not that spiritual? I can't wave my hands. I can't raise my hands when I'm worshiping. But it's not requirement. It's not what make you holy or unholy. It's not make you better spiritually. It's not the sign. No, I'm not ready yet. She got baptized only 2 weeks before she died. You know, sometimes we believe that call for holiness, it's for holy people already. Sometimes we believe that you need to be at certain spiritual level to understand these things, but it's not. It's for all people, for all who believe, regardless of age, status, time of church attendance, or religious experience. So who is to be called saints? You know, I find out that saint and holy, it's actually the same word in Greek, agio. I don't know why you Americans, why it's in English, it's two different words, because in Greek and in Russian, it's the same word. And sometimes we're confused. Where is the call for holiness? Where is the call to be saint? It's the same call. So who is to be called saints? All the believers, all believers, not only those in New Orleans. In New Testament, all God's people are called saints. For many years, I was battling with this. It seemed strange that such a name is given to people struggling with all kinds of sins. When I read Paul's letters, I was shocked by the fact that first he greets them, greets people as saints, and then he begins to reprehend them with their recklessness and sinful behavior. So why does the Bible call us saints? And why does it call us to holiness? Holiness is what the human race was originally intended for. We were created in the image of God. To be created in the image of God means that we are to reflect God's character in us. We were created to show the holiness of God in this world, in His world. But as we all know, human beings have turned to darkness, disobeying its holy creator. So we lost God's image. Instead of reflecting His holy character, we started fighting the Holy One. Instead of being a holy nation, we became a sinful nation. I have committed many sins in my life. None of these sins have ever made me happy. Although my sins didn't bring me happiness, they brought me pleasure. I like pleasure. I like having fun. And not all pleasures are sins, by the way. But sin can never bring you happiness. If I understand all these, then why does sin seduce me again and again? It seems foolish for a person who knows the difference between happiness and pleasure to continue choosing pleasure over happiness. It seems totally stupid to do something that you know will deprive you of happiness, and yet you're doing it again and again. So mystery of sin is that it's not just evil and destructive. It's frankly stupid. The problem with this call to be holy gets even worse when you as a believer realize that the problem is what we are called to be holy, called to holiness, while we're not being holy at all. And the question rises again, if we're not holy, why does the Bible call us saints, call us holy? The Bible calls us saints for two reasons. First, because we were sanctified by God and for God. We were separated from this world. This is a matter of fact. Just like holy vessels in temple in Jerusalem could be used only for their worship purposes and not for anything else, just like that, we are separated for God. And second, we are to be different in our lives. The Christian life is life of non-conformists. What is that? But very often, the only thing that we can maintain is superficial nonconformism. A simplified approach to this issue forces us to do simply the exact opposite of what is accepted in our culture. If long hair is in fashion, the nonconformist would go with short hair. If everybody else to go to the cinema, the Christian nonconformist would avoid visiting cinema as a worldly thing. We can go on and on and on, you name it. Superficial nonconformism is a classic Pharisee trap. The kingdom of God is not about buttons, movies, or dancing. God is not concerned with what we eat or drink. Believe it or not, he calls us to nonconformism at a deeper level, the level of righteousness, which lies beyond the scope of purely external manifestations. If our righteousness is determined only by the degree of external piety, we're missing the whole essence of the apostolic teaching. Let us never forget these words from our Lord in Matthew 15, 10 to 20. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into man's mouth doesn't make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands doesn't make him unclean." Very often we're narrowing down the kingdom of God to one simple area where food or drink or clothes are important. That was the righteousness of Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus responded to it in Matthew 5:20. "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Let me ask you a question. Where your righteousness comes from? If it's from you, I have bad news for you, brothers and sisters. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." The only source of our righteousness must be the Holy One. The only way to be accepted by God is in Messiah. He sent his Holy Son, Jesus, to share his righteousness with us. He died for us. The Holy One died for sinful ones. He wants us to repent. He wants us to surrender ourselves to his love and mercy and grace. And now he declares everyone who repent and believe as holy. He calls us his people, his new creation, his saints, the citizens of his kingdom. He's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to walk his ways and to make us even more holy every moment of our life until the final day comes. What could be better? Once again, I'll ask you, brothers and sisters, what do you think about this call today? Will we notice it while we pass by? Will it resonate at his church this morning? this message, message of God, be holy. For I am holy, Lord, your God. Let us pray together. Our holy God, you are holy. Lord, and you calling us to be holy. And more, you calling us holy right now because we are your people. Everyone who believes, everyone who repented, everyone who cried out to Jesus in our weakness and asked your help is your children, is your child. Lord, we ask that you would bless us this morning. We thank you for this promise. We thank you for your work, your sanctificational work in our life that is ongoing. From that moment that we cried to Jesus until the final day, we thank you for your work in our lives. You're making us more and more holy. Until one day, we will come to your presence and we will be like Jesus in new bodies. And we will be in your presence forever, glorifying and sanctifying your name. We thank you, Lord, for everything that we're facing here on this earth. And we thank you for every battle we've been through. We thank you for support and encouragement that we can find in your word. And Lord, let us have only one source for our righteousness, not in ourselves, but in your scripture, in your presence, in your name, Lord. We ask that you would bless us as we becoming more and more righteous people every day as we walk with you. Lord, I pray for this congregation, Lord. You know them. You know every heart, each of them. I ask that you would bless them and let them walk with you every day, more and more. Become holy more and more every day. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to share with them and to pray for them. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.